Okay, I want you to turn, please, to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. And you know what? I am going to suggest that you put a ribbon in Psalm 27. Because we're going to be coming back here. I've been going through the Psalms, and I've done this before, it was a few years back, but I'm going back through the Psalms and documenting as best that I know, as best that I can, the different Psalms that refer to hope, future events. There are Psalms that have a more immediate fulfillment, and then they have an ultimate fulfillment. We considered, I think, one or a couple of them maybe during family camp, but there are many. But in so doing, I'm reading through these Psalms again, and you know, I've shared this before, but it's the Psalms give such insight into the heart of men and God's care and concern for people. God's care and concern for his people. We're going to look at Psalm 27 today. And it's when I read Psalm 27, to me, it's kind of a how-to. It's just practical. It's just a how-to psalm. And it shows a little bit of the heart of David, and as many of the psalms do. And it's really something to see his heart, because God deemed him to be a man after his own heart. And David was not a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. But David loved his God. And David sought his God. And he sought to know his God. And it's just such an eye-opener. And it's so helpful to see some of these things. Because in the Psalms, you see times of great distress. Times of just utter helplessness. You don't know where to turn. You don't know where to go. See, and we're going to see that today in this Psalm. See, but where David would land, this is so awesome. He'd go through these loops, as we all do, but he'd land at God. That's where I'm staying put. See? And that's what he'd do. And we're going to see that in this psalm today. Because a walk with God is like that. And what we're going to see too, and I want you to understand, you know, God has set before us a great hope. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to gather us together. And one of the things that waiting on God teaches us in this life is to wait on that hope. You know, we'll see that. We're going to close with that. But there are so many things in life that come up that are just real. They're just real. But God, and we heard it in manifestations, he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. See, it's what he says. You know, we have the wonderful opportunity, the option really, of believing that and accepting that and looking at that. And looking at a God who's faithful rather than the circumstances. See? And that's something that David did. And sometimes he had to work his way around to that. But that's where he'd land. See? And sometimes we need to work our way around to that. That's okay. It's not the how you get there. It's that you get there. You don't condemn yourself for the how. Be blessed and thankful for the what. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we do. It's just life. That's all. It's just life. So with those things in mind, I told you to turn to Psalm 27 because I want you to put your ribbon there. But we're going to go to Psalm 16 first. And we're just going to see a couple wonderful things about David. I mean, David is a study in and of itself. There's so much in the Word. But one thing that David had built in his heart was the hope. He knew. And in Psalm 16, look at this. I have set the Lord, in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. But those are some words to unpack. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest or camp in what? In hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That's the word for grave. Neither will thou suffer thine holy one to what? And that's in reference to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures for what? Forevermore. See, he was a hoper. He knew that God would one day rise him from the dead, and that Lord, that promised seed, was coming, and that God would not allow him to see corruption. See, but would raise him from the dead, which is why this is quoted in Acts chapter 2 on that day of Pentecost when the Spirit was poured out. I want you to turn to Psalm 13 real quick on our way to Psalm 27. David was a man that trusted God. And there are, of course, many places we could go in the Psalms and different places in God's Word to see that. But I wanted to read this. It's pretty neat. Look at where this starts. Verse 1. Now, there's a lot of Psalms that start like this. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Isn't that something? See, sometimes it feels like that. You know, sometimes it just feels like God doesn't hear you. He does. Sometimes it feels like he's not aware of what's going on. He is. He is. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in what? Thy mercy. See? My heart shall rejoice in thy deliverance. That's something. My heart will rejoice in your deliverance. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Do you see where this started? It's like, hear me. Where are you? See, and then he lands. My God. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to boast in your deliverance. Isn't that something? Okay. I want you to turn to Psalm 19. I wanted to look at a little bit of this just to show a little bit of David's humility. David was king. And he went through some things. But he was a humble man. And he realized where his strength came from, where his deliverance came from, where his help came from. And that was from God. In Psalm 19, we're going to go to verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The reverence of the Lord, the fear or the reverence of the Lord is cleansing. That's that word. It's cleansing, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is what? Great reward. See, he knew God's ways. Then the next verse, who can understand his errors? It really should be understood as, who can understand his own errors? It switches from God to him. Who can understand his own mistakes or his own errors? Cleanse thou me from secret, what? See, those things that I'm not even aware of. He's looking to God. See, isn't that something? Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous or willful sins or mistakes. Let them not have dominion over me. Isn't that something? Those things that he knew were contrary to his God. See? He asked for God's help in that. Isn't that something? See, that's just life, man. That's just life. He recognized who God was and what God would do in his care and concern. Let's go to Psalm 27. Let's go to Psalm. We've been in Psalm. Psalm 27. And it reads, The Lord is my light and my deliverance. Whom shall I fear? Sounds a little bit like Romans 8:31, doesn't it? If God be for us, what? Who can be against us? The Lord is my light, without which we have what? Darkness. And my deliverance. The Lord is my deliverance. And that's real deliverance. Outside of God's deliverance, any other kind of deliverance is fleeting. It's hit and miss. The Lord is the strength of my life. That word strength is also translated refuge. It is the source of strength, is a good way to understand it. The Lord is my source of strength. See, that's my refuge. That's where I go for strength. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. Some translations handle this as slander or devour. You know, David spent a lot of time being chased by the king of Israel and his army seeking to kill him. And it was God that kept him one step ahead. It was God that he relied on. Twice, David had opportunity that I can remember. Two times, David had opportunity to bring about his own deliverance. And he wouldn't lift his hand against God's anointed. He left it to God. I will not kill Saul. See, isn't that something? See, that's relying on God. It's just incredible. And the heartache and the hurt and the fear that he experienced and went through during that period of time when Saul was chasing him with his own army. See, but David worked these things. He kept his eyes on God. You know, and sometimes there were just dark times. Sometimes there were really sorrowful times. But he stayed put. See? Verse 3, and he literally experienced this. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me in this, will I what? Isn't that something? My heart will not fear. My heart. This is real. He wasn't putting on a show for his men. He wasn't showing fear so that they would remain strong. He wasn't showing fear because what? He wasn't afraid. Isn't that something? When a host was camped against him. See? Because he had built something in his heart. This doesn't happen overnight, by the way. This doesn't happen by my saying to myself, well, you know, by golly gee, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. That doesn't happen. It takes time to build these things. It takes time to build that, you know, he's a faithful God. He's a caring God. It takes a little time to learn how to wait upon the Lord, how to wait upon God. See? And even, well, I don't want to, we'll just keep it simple. Okay. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. And that this refers back to the Lord, who is my light and my deliverance and my source of strength. Isn't that something? It's in that. One thing, verse 4, this is so awesome. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the what? The beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. I'd love to spend a lot of time with this verse. This was his heart. This was his heart, to seek his God. This was his heart. Then it says, this is so awesome, to behold thy what? Thy beauty. It wasn't about him. It wasn't about what he needed. It wasn't about what he wanted. He wanted to behold the beauty of God and then to inquire of him. You know what inquire means? Learn. See? Isn't that something? To learn from God. That was his heart. And just to behold his beauty. His beauty. See? It's really something. You know, we're going to see a little bit more here about seeking. But, you know, we seek God by prayer and by his word. You know, prayer is so key, and that's what you read a lot of in Psalms. That prayer to your Heavenly Father. It's an open heart. That's the way prayer should be. An open heart. See? That's right. And we go to prayer. We go into prayer really expecting to see the beauty of our God, the goodness of our God, rather than looking at the need we may have. See? And that's what we see in the psalm. David set his heart not to look at all that was going on around him. He set his heart to keep his eyes on God. See? Isn't that something? And to wait on God. What an incredible example. You know, this reminds me when I read these verses. Section of Matthew, chapter 6. You know, where it's, build not treasures up on earth, but in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. God knows what we have need of. He knows. He really does. And so to be divided in our minds, to be, anxious about these things that God knows we need, what the instruction there is, seek the kingdom of who? See, in his righteousness. That's where we keep our eyes. Our tendency, because we're human, is to look at the problem. Right? Isn't it?
It is for me.
Am I the only human in this room? No. But it is sometimes. Boy, and you just, you know, what's going to happen? And then you read these psalms and you see, just to behold the beauty of God. To go to your Heavenly Father knowing who he is and his great care and concern. Let's keep reading here. This is just so awesome. 4, verse 5. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle or tent shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And if God hides you, you're hidden. You know, Psalm 50 talks about hiding under the shadow of his wings. That's something. Hiding under their shadow. Where God just, he hides you. He cares for you. Just such a beautiful mind picture. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. That's something. Verse 7. Now look at this. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. That's prayer. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 8. When you said, seek my face. And that this word seek is not, it wasn't just specifically said to David. God wanted all of Israel to seek his face. David's answer was, your face will I seek. Ha! Isn't that something? Your face will I seek. Keep your finger here. I want to read. We're going to go to Psalm 105. I wanted to read one of the Psalms there in light of this. Oh, this is so great. Verse 4, it says, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. And seek his face. And the word evermore is the word continually. Isn't that neat? Seek his face continually. This sounds a little bit like an exhortation in Romans chapter 12. We are to pray. How much? Without ceasing. Well, Ephesians. It's continually in Romans. What's the word? I forget the word that's used in the King James. For no, it's well, you know what? I'm just going to turn there. Romans chapter 12. Oh, here it is. Rejoicing. Verse 12. Rejoicing in the hope, is how it should read. Patient in tribulation. Continuing. Instant in prayer. It's giving persistent attention to what? To prayer. And that is part of seeking God's face. Going to God in prayer from your heart, see, involving him in everything, and then waiting upon him patiently. Let's go back to Psalm 27. Seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Look at verse 9. This is something. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. You know, this is something. We're reading these great things and David's heart for his God. And David was a servant. You know, David could lose spirit. We can't. We're sons by seed. We're sons of God now, it says in 1 John 3, right? We're sons of God now. Boy, consider that one. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my deliverance. When my, oh, this is so awesome. When my father and my mother forsake me or abandon me, then the Lord will what? Take me up. Boy, who knows you better than mother and father? Right? Your weaknesses, your frailties. And I can't imagine a mother or father doing this, but it happens. As much as I love my kids, I've made mistakes. I've wronged them. Here we read, when my own mother or father abandon me, God will take me up. Isn't that something? He will take me in. See, God's aware of our weaknesses. He's aware of our frailties. He's aware of our fears. He's aware of the things that are problematic in our lives. He's aware of those things. And yet he tells us, seek him, trust him, rely on him, walk with him, look to him, and he will what? He'll take you up. Isn't that something? Do you see why I look at this? It's just, it's like life lessons. So often I read the Psalms and it's like, look at this. Look, I've been through this. Teach me thy way, O Lord, verse 11, and lead me in a plain path, a plain path, because of mine enemies, a plain path. You know, this word plain, it's straight, or to be made clear. God is expert at this. We opened up in this psalm that it's God that lightens me. It's God's word and that Spirit of God that provide light so that we can see where we need to go, where we can see where we're going. The other option is to walk by my own light. And that ain't too light. You know, there's a verse, look at Isaiah 50. Keep your finger, we're going to come right back and wrap up, but I want to turn here. Isaiah 50. Verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeys the voice of his servant? That walks in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his what? His God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. And this is an Orientalism, K.C. Pilai. It was just beautiful. What they would do in these villages in the lands and times of the Bibles is they would light, early in the morning, they would light a piece of rope for light when they would walk down the paths. And that rope, as it burned, would give off sparks so they could see where they were going. But it wasn't really good light. You know, and sometimes you'd be fine. Sometimes you'd step on something or get bit by something you never saw because it really didn't provide good light. Do you understand? If you can picture that. Pitch dark outside, you're walking barefoot through a path and you're being lit by sparks. See? You walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled, this shall ye have of my hand. See, there were men that would not seek the face of God. See, men who walked in darkness because they didn't seek God, and they walked by their own what? Sparks. By their own sparks. See, I don't want to walk by my own sparks. That doesn't end well. Never has. Never will. And David, you know, this great man, because of his great humility, recognized that the only light that was light came from God. And that's the light he wanted to walk in. See? boy, something. Let's go back to Psalm 27. Make it plain. And God can do that. You know, well, verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You know, there were men who were whispering in Saul's ear some things about David. I don't know if that's exactly what this is referring to, but it certainly took place. David had experienced that. And they were whispering in Saul's ear that, you know, David was rebelling, or David was this, or David was that. None of it was true. Verse 13. I had fainted. I'd have given up. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Isn't that beautiful? To see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, this verse is one of those verses where it has a fulfillment in David's time. He stayed put, which we'll see in the next verse. But it has a future fulfillment too. And David will behold a beauty. He will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Isn't that something? Then it says, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good what?
Courage.
Good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on what? On the Lord. Wait on him. You know, Romans 5, which is addressed to us, talks about this. It's standing in his grace. Let's just close with that. Let's go to Romans 5. Because, see, this is where the rubber meets the road. You know, and if there are things, if there are areas in life where you have great difficulty in trusting God, ask him to help you. Or if you lack desire, you know, for some things regarding your Heavenly Father, regarding his word, or regarding prayer, or regarding some of these things, ask him to help you. He's already promised he's going to work in you the willing to do of his good pleasure. Isn't that something?
Yes.
What a God. And we get to call him Father. Verse 5, or chapter 5, therefore, being made righteous, justified, made righteous by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by the believing into this grace, unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor, wherein we, what? Stay put, stand, don't move, and boast, rejoice, or boast in hope of the glory of God. We know our future is secure, that we know. So we stay put in this unmerited favor now, in this life also. And not only so, but we boast in mental pressures. We boast in those things. Knowing that those mental pressures work or produce what? Patience. All in the context of staying put in that grace. You know, brought us by our Lord Jesus Christ, in which we were made righteous and have access to God. So we stay put, and then we boast. We boast in tribulations because those mental pressures, when we stay put in this, they produce patience. You know another way to stay patient? It's to wait on the Lord. That's another way. You wait on him who is faithful. You wait on him who has made you righteous. You wait on him who has demonstrated and shown you this incredible grace. We wait on him. Reverently, knowing he's faithful. And then it says that patience produces.
Yeah, I better read it.
Experience, or a proven integrity. See, it's really a proving of God's faithfulness. It's really something, and then that produces what? Produces hope. David was a hoper. He was waiting on the ultimate redemption, and still is, that would come by way of his Lord, whom God would not allow to see corruption. You and I are waiting for our Lord to return. And waiting on God now and seeing his faithfulness and his deliverance helps us to wait on our hope. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. That's what it builds. See? And what a privilege we have to do that. What a privilege we have to have this source of strength, this light, this faithful God, and the peace that comes from that. There are psalms that talk about hiding in his word, where you just go and hide in his word. Isn't that awesome? You just, you know, things are crazy. I just want to spend some time. I'm just going to read God's word. You know? How awesome we have these things. So, it doesn't mean our life is free from situations and opportunities and tragedies sometimes and different things, but we've got a faithful God. We've got a God we can rely on. We've got a faithful God. And we can walk with peace knowing what he's made us, what he's made us in Christ. And we have a great example. God, isn't that gracious of God to include these things in his word so we can learn from them? It's really awesome. So, amen. Amen. Amen.